If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
We're all bundled up this morning, all of us.
I don't see your hat.
Well, it's nice and toasty warm in the studio today.
Oh, so you took off your hat.
I did take off your hat.
I had to look that up this week. I was laughing about it all. I had to look that up.
I've got a couple, two, three layers on. I don't know why I'm acting like I'm working on telephone poles outside. I'm in a nice warm building. Carm's got a Carm on a Sunday morning.
And he's wearing his hat. He's got his hat on.
He's got a ski cap on this morning.
Listen, there's a lot of windows in here. Anything could happen at any moment. A burst of cold air, Dean.
A bird could hit the window.
Yeah, I got to be prepared. I don't know. The hair is all over the place, so this is partly cosmetic here.
I did notice that when I saw Carm in the hallway.
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen
a moment ago, and he did not have the hat on. And I said to myself, Carmen's got a nice head of hair. It's got a beautiful head of hair, doesn't he, Schwanny?
Oh, of course, yes.
Yeah.
So do you, Dean.
Shut up. Have I mentioned to you how much I hate you this morning? Listen, I'll be hearing all the clever DJs playing this song.
Beautiful.
Next couple of days.
Maybe just a soda.
Why?
Because
it's cold outside. What is the current temperature, Schwanny?
The current temperature right now, we have new numbers from the National Weather Service showing
five above zero.
With a wind chill index of 10 below.
Holy smokes.
It's the wind chill in Freeport, in the Rockford area, 20 below right now.
And that's nothing compared to what it's going to be tomorrow.
That's right? Correct. Yes. Tomorrow, we're looking at very cold temperatures, a high of only 8. Overnight tonight, this is dangerous. This really is.
Yes.
Outlying areas, wind chills around 20 to 25 below. And this cold weather will be with a bitter cold, will be with us through Tuesday. We'll see a bit of a warm up on Wednesday, high in the mid 20s.
Can't we all just stay home the next couple of days?
I'd love to. I would love to.
Where do you have to go?
I have to be right here tomorrow.
Are you on Bob Sparacho tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. Yes, John Hansen is in for Bob tomorrow.
Does Bob know this?
Bob is...
Bob's off.
Yeah.
Bob's off for
John,
the holiday.
John Hansen will be in.
I'm actually off tomorrow also.
Well, fine.
I'm going to stay...
You're going to stay nice and warm inside.
Nice and toasty warm. I'm actually getting a little too hot in here, to tell you the truth.
Are you really?
I may take my shirt off. I hope you guys
let's
don't
go. Radio please, excellence.
Please. Please.
And it's a nice long show today, too.
Yeah, we're here till 12:45 today.
Yeah. Is it 12:45 or 12:30?
12:45 is actually the start of the pregame, I think. Right, Mark?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Cats in Michigan, baby.
Mm-hmm. And our own Andy Mazur doing the call with Billy McKinney today.
How about that?
Yeah.
Where's Mr. Cat?
Do not know.
He's on a private assignment that he's keeping private and can't tell anybody.
Okay.
AKA, I have no idea.
I can respect that. Shall we call him to see where he is?
I'm sure he'd love that.
Hi, Dave. Morning. Yeah, I overdid it with layers today.
Thinking that it was going to be really frigid.
Well, that's all I've been hearing about, and rightfully so. I mean, the news should be covering this because this is really our first dangerous cold snap, right?
Not this is the first dangerous. Well, it did get colder around Thanksgiving, but not like this.
Not like
this is the real. This is the real. The heavy one.
This is the real deal. This is Chicago. Welcome to Chicago winter. But you know, so you know, I've been sort of like psyched out. You know, I had to go out this morning. I had to come down here. I better put a lot of layers on. And now I'm too hot.
If I may, Dean, I'd like to shout out all the dogs out there that know it's cold and do their business in a very quick thing like Poppy the Puppy did today. I mean, just got it done and then right back inside. That's what we need.
Dogs don't get the kind of credit that they should.
Right.
For Now, this is your dog, I assume?
Yeah.
Poppy.
Yeah, yeah.
What is it? Poppy the puppy?
I mean, it's not a puppy anymore, but just rhymes well.
Wonderful,
you know?
Dog. Yeah.
Close yeah. together.
It's a wonderful
nice,
dog.
Nice alliteration.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Are you a dress-up-your-dog person?
No, no, no. Please, no.
I am very anti-dress-up-your-dog. Even when it's this cold outside, I see you know, dogs out there with the coats, with the boots, all dressed up, and they're staring at me like,
"Yeah,
please, sir, help me."
get out
well,
there
what about,
and do it.
No, the boots are supposed to be. That's very practical because of the you know, the bitter cold, especially now, the cold sidewalks and streets on their pads, and also any salt that would get stuck in their paws, that's painful.
And I think that's what Mark is saying, though, that the you know, a smart dog will go out, do their business, and get right back in. I mean, they're not out there doing the mambo.
Yeah,
although I would like to see that.
I remember a few years ago when it was like the high was 10 below, and my neighbor who had a dog at the time said, the dog does not want to go outside. Yeah. They know better.
Yeah, they, you know, I haven't had a dog in quite a few years, but when I did, she would just go in, like in weather like this, go do her business and...
Want to go right back inside.
Go right back in. And I was right along with her, too.
Yeah.
No need to sniff everything that's outside. You've sniffed it 100 times.
It's not time.
Yeah. It's not a good time to sniff. Yeah. Plus, one time I fell into the, you know, put boots on your dog because it'll save their pads. And I tried to do that once with my dog.
Dog didn't like it?
Dog did not like it. It took about a half an hour to get one boot on.
Yeah, no.
Fought me the whole way. And then turns out she ate the boot.
Good treat right there.
Yeah.
There you go.
Ate the boot.
You had to deal with that. I got all the boots on. They didn't stay on very well. But when it came time, you know, to come back inside, there were only three boots. And I found out the next day where the fourth one went.
That's awesome. Nature. Beautiful.
So, you know, protect your dogs, but use some common sense, I guess. Yeah, I guess, I don't know, are the pads meant to deal with cold weather?
Yes, they're there to protect the dog's foot and, you know, again, protect them from cold.
Pads, the natural pads, I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Just their little paws.
Well, you know... They still seem to deal with it, but, you know, it does protect them from stones and the salt that may get into their paw. That's not good.
I talked to the dog gods out there, and they're like, you know, they are built for this weather. Even if you don't think they are, they can handle it.
Yeah. Plus, I had my dog was a German Shepherd, so
oof.
You know, they're extra. She loved going out in the cold and the snow.
Playing in the snow.
She,
oh, sure.
Oh, she loved
you know,
it.
They love running and jumping in the snow. Sure.
She loved it. Yeah. But when I see the dogs out there that are all dressed up in their little poofy clothes, and I feel embarrassed for them.
You feel embarrassed?
I feel embarrassed, and I feel like they're looking at me like, would you please steal this leash and let me go? Take this junk off of me.
Why did you do this to me?
So I can be a dog.
Yeah.
Well, take all the necessary precautions. We've gone over them. Does anybody not know what to do when it's cold outside? I hope everybody does. I don't mean to be so casual about the cold weather. It is dangerous. You know, you could get frostbite. We'll talk to Dr. Silver in a minute about all that stuff.
But check on people also.
Yeah.
We have a very serious water main break in my neighborhood right now as we speak. And my heart goes out to the people that live in the buildings there because they're dealing with this right now. And it happened in the middle of the week, and I don't think it's fixed yet.
Jeez. It's taken so long.
I don't know.
It's not good.
Mm-mm.
Well, you know, check on people in general because, you know, seniors and, you know, people with physical disabilities, you know, this is tough weather to be in. So necessary precautions.
Right. Exactly.
All I'll say.
Yeah.
Oh, what a surprise. Some texts about dogs wearing clothes. I can't believe it. The 847 area code. My dog wears a snowsuit and boots when it's cold. That works for him and me. If I'm cold, he's cold. Take care of your fur babies. Mark, I think you're wrong about all dogs being prepared for the extreme cold.
Well, I do appreciate an owner who feels like they can tell the temperature deep down to their animal. That's big time.
847 area code. I have a Siberian Husky. She refuses to come inside.
There we go.
Yeah. My dog looked like a Siberian. She was a white German Shepherd. She looked like a Siberian Husky. She may have had some of that in there. Another, Dean, my dogs have to wear boots. The salt gets in their paws and hurts them. Mine actually screams when it happens. So
I feel terrible now. That's just, you can't have that.
Another one that says you can use something called Musher's cream for dogs' paws in the salt and snow. It's a lot easier. Have you ever heard of that?
I know that there are
Musher's cream.
I've never heard of Musher's cream, but I have heard of, you know, the creams for the paws that, you know, it's like it's a mani-pedi day for them.
Let's see here. Let's see what it says about Musher's cream. It's a moisturizing dog paw balm that creates an invisible barrier, protects and heals dried, cracked paws. So there you go. I may try some myself.
But it feels good, Dean.
I'll bet it does. I'll bet it does.
Got to moisturize.
Dean, can I jump in for just a second
here?
We have some breaking information concerning the hostages here. Israeli media is showing that the first images of the three women that were to be released today, they're walking between vehicles as a convoy moves through Gaza with people holding up phones and also taking video of this. Also, a large number of armed men with green Hamas headbands nearby. However, the first three now have been released since the beginning of the ceasefire here that took place late last night. Romy Gonen, Emily Damari, and Doran Steinbrecher, the first of the hostages being released since the ceasefire went into effect.
So it's starting to happen.
Yes. Yeah.
Are we expecting more to be released today?
Not today. The release schedule means looks like four more will be released on the day 7th of the truce, which would be a week from today, and then three hostages every week after that. How this schedule was arrived at and why, you know, they can't all be released at once, I can't say, but that's the schedule as of now, that we'll see four more being released in a week and then three every week after that. But the first three being released right now.
How many are being held in total?
Nearly 100. And some of the fate of some of those is unknown.
And maybe I should have been following this closer while they were negotiating all this. Why the slow release? Why three a week? Why not?
Well, again, why not all of them all at once? Not sure of that. It could change as, you know, if things continue to go smoothly, you could see four more being released or 10 more, you know, considering, you know, any number could happen, but
is it to ensure that the terms
it may be to ensure that the
agreement
right
are
because things, you know, were, you know, hopeful and then they weren't and then they were hopeful again, and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said you know, we won't approve this until we know, you know, definitely that you're going to do this, and we want to see the names of the first people to be released. That took a delay also. Hamas said there were technical difficulties doing that, but then they did come through and put forward the first three names. So we're looking at the release of the first three right now.
And they were greeted by family, friends on the other side?
They are they're right now they're with a Red Cross convoy, so they're not in reunited yet with families and friends. From the Gaza area, they're moving through Gaza City, so they've yet to be reunited with family and so forth. But as this moves along, they're out.
Okay.
And in the safety of the Red Cross.
Okay. Please keep us posted.
We'll have more at 9:30, and of course, as the morning continues.
Holy smokes, what a busy news week this is.
Oh, wow. With this, TikTok, we have the inauguration tomorrow. Right. The weather.
The LA fires.
The LA fires continuing to be trouble. Sure. Yeah.
Are you most concerned about TikTok? I know you're a big TikToker. Ronnie likes putting recipes of melting feta cheese on it.
Actually, I've never even gotten close to using it, but when there's 170 million people in the U.S. alone that are using this, and it's closing down, that's news. So, do you use it?
I occasionally will pop on it.
Do you use it, Mark?
Yes, I'm straight devastated, if we're going to be honest about it. I went a little too far.
But just going to bring this up, that there literally are people who don't know how they're going to live their lives without
TikTok. That's been reported, yeah. I've seen numerous videos to that effect.
And Mark being the hipster among us.
That's right. I'm so on top of my game that I love TikTok to the end of the earth. I don't know. Now, how am I going to do anything? I need my dogs dancing. There's tons of sports on there, Dean.
Of cooking. I actually do like some of the cooking things that are on
there. They do a good cooking.
They do recipes, the challenges, the people doing the challenges of crazy and semi-dangerous things for your amusement.
There's eight.
Exactly, for your amusement.
There's like 8,000 Jordan videos on there. I got to get my Michael Jordan fix every day. Yeah.
Shawnee'd be on there if there were more Andy Griffith and Three Stooges content. Part of it. I like the fancy breaking news music you have.
We are using that with the stories that weren't breaking news. Fancy. And this is breaking news.
It got my attention.
Very good.
Not that I don't pay complete attention.
Oh, I know. You listen to my every word.
Hang on your every word. Exactly correct. As I'm going to do right now, because, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, moms and dads, it's time once again for your frozen, flarflung cast.
You know what it is.
Too many F words.
Yeah.
Not worth risking the license.
Just be careful.
It's our weekly compendium of interesting facts, all presented to us by Dave Schwann.
And thank you very much, Uncle Dean. Friends and neighbors, get out your compasses, protractors, and newfangled devices. We're heading down south today, down to very far southern Texas, to a little village called Olmito.
Aren't they also having super cold temperatures in Texas right now?
They're not as cold as we are, but yes, they are below normal, and that is the reason why we're bringing up Olmito, Texas today.
How do you spell that?
Olmito. Olmito.
Olmito.
And they're about 15 miles north of the U.S.-Mexican border. Oh. They're just about as far south as you can get.
Wow.
In the state of Texas, the Lone Star State. Yep. Little over 1,000 population as of the 2020 census. And while they are below normal also, they're a little warmer than we are. They're seeing sunny skies, 43 now. They'll be in the 70s this coming weekend. And by the way, Dean, Olmito is Spanish for little elm, as in an elm tree.
Aww.
And that, by the way, is a deciduous tree. I knew you wanted to know that. I'm just giving you the complete information.
Andy would appreciate that more than Carl.
Mostly sunny in Olmito, Texas.
I'm learning. Shawnee, Andy, and I went on the Alzheimer's walk several years ago, and the entire route along the lakefront, Shawnee explained.
It was just one
mention. The derivation of every single tree that's in Grant Park.
What a treasure.
Yeah.
I almost got thrown in the lake.
Yeah, I almost jumped in
the lake.
They
didn't tell me to jump in the lake. I was going to be pushed into the
lake. I was going to end it all myself.
Does that mean you're an arborist? Is that how that works?
I just happen to know that they were deciduous trees. That's all. Just like an elm tree.
You make everything up. I think if we start too bad we're not going to be fact-checking things anymore. Because if we fact-checked you, we would find out that 90% of what you say is untrue.
It's made up?
Yeah.
Wrong.
Okay. TikTok.
I'm true. Yes, TikTok.
I don't mean
TikTok,
the one that's
the
banned.
The clock is ticking.
I mean, let's finish this.
Olmedo, Texas. Little Elm
is
mostly
where we
sunny
left it
and
off.
43 right now. Going up to 52 today. A little warmer than we are.
Well, there you go. Wait, why did you bring this up?
Because they are very far south. They're considerably warmer than we are,
yes.
But they're still below normal, with the highs only in the low 50s. And just about everybody in the country is below normal temperature-wise right now with this cold weather that's coming down. Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Wow-wee.
Wow, that's right.
Put on your hat.
Again, Andy would. This is what Andy puts up with every week, and I do. I'm completely complicit in it. But poor Andy and poor Jack Hammer, producer Jack Hammer.
I mean, I'm.
This is the second week in a row Andy has not been here.
Yeah.
I'm reading about deciduous trees right now as I listen to.
Oh,
it's really interesting.
All right.
Well, what does it say?
Well, look at the time. We should really be moving on. 9:41. Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Time for the weekend health. Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Of course, we're going to start off by talking about cold weather, extremely cold weather. Dr. Silver, welcome. Nice to have you with us. But I would imagine cold weather-related incidents are things that you guys will be dealing with in the emergency room over the next few days.
We do see it, and I think folks are always surprised by how quickly the human body gets cold outside, particularly when the weather starts dropping into the single digits and below. So definitely something we want people to be aware of, and there are lots of little simple practical steps you can take to keep yourself warm, for sure.
Tell us some of them.
Well, I think the first is don't go outside when it's this cold. It's one of those if it hurts, don't do it type of thing.
Right.
But in all seriousness, you want to limit, particularly with the elderly and with young children. The instinct is to tell the kids, you know, get outside and play. But you want to limit exposure, particularly with the single digits. Multiple layers of clothing. So first of all, start with, you know, the old thermal underwear. And, you know, if you don't have those, at least multiple layers. You always want to wear a hat. 30% of the body heat that you lose goes off your head. But also, you want to protect your fingers and toes. So double socking, making sure you're wearing gloves or even mittens are better because the heat kind of gets distributed between the fingers. And so those are some easy steps you can take. And then limit your time outside. So, you know, with the temperatures this morning being, you know, I think it's 5 degrees here.
Right.
I wouldn't let my kids play outside for more than 10 or 15 minutes at a time and then have them come in, warm up, and check their fingers. Certainly, if you start to see that the extremes of the body, those are the areas that get frostbite first, which is what we worry about. So things like noses, ears, and fingers, when you start to see a color change like a white or loss of sensation to the fingers, obviously that would be a sign that, hey, maybe I should get inside and warm up.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if there were some visible signs that, you know, things that you should be, you know, that are early warnings that you should get back inside again. So what about breathing the cold weather? You know, a lot of people bundle up their faces pretty good because it's cold and they want to bundle up their faces. But does that protect the lungs, not breathing in this, you know, sub-zero temperature?
Well, it's like anything else. You're exposing that inside of the body to cold temperatures, and that can actually cool you down quicker. So if you have a scarf to put over your around your mouth, that certainly is going to kind of warm the ambient air around the mouth that you're breathing, and that certainly could help, you know, slow the pace of the body temperature dropping.
We were talking earlier. I know this isn't exactly your field of dealing with animals, but we were talking about you know, dressing up your animals in warm clothing. Does that make sense to you, or animals can deal with this on their own?
Well, you know, certain animals, you know, you see the Bernese Mountain Dog, for instance, and they can go outside, it seems like, forever when it's cold outside. So certain animals are genetically predisposed to the cold, huskies, for instance. But these, you know, little doodle mixes and some of the smaller dogs, they can actually freeze very quickly.
Yeah.
So, you know, the booties help with their feet. Number one, because it's cold. Number two, because cold makes edges hard and sharp, and they can cut their toes. And number three is sometimes people use salt to melt the ice, and that some of the ice melt is friendly for pets, but some is not. And not everybody has pet-friendly ice melt, particularly in commercial or retail areas where they're dumping it by the truckload. So it's something to be to keep in mind with the animals. The other thing, Dean, if I may, is it's just a quick word about space heaters and kerosene heaters. Any kind of wood burning or really kind of any device that uses combustion to burn, whether it's kerosene or wood, and certainly space heaters with the electrical element, the elements can get hot, overheat, and if you run those space heaters past their tolerance, they can catch fire. So that's a fire risk. So please make sure you have a fire alarm installed in your house. But number two is the carbon monoxide. Mm. Every year we see it. It's totally preventable, and it's always when it's cold outside, people run these heaters inside. Or they're, you know, they're ice fishing, or they're out at a camp, you know, hunting, or whatever it is that people do. Make sure that you're venting the space so that you don't become sick with carbon monoxide, which is a byproduct of a combustion, whether it's wood or kerosene or what have you. So just a word to the wise.
Yeah, okay, that's a good idea. The more modern space heaters have automatic turnoffs, which is great, but a lot of people have space heaters which are not modern and will go and go and go, and that causes the kind of problems that you are talking about with that. That's a good advice and something to be aware of right now. What about beverages in cold weather? You know, people would say, oh, I brought a flask to keep myself warm. Is that a fallacy that an alcoholic drink will keep you warm if you're outside? It actually, I thought it actually makes you colder.
It is a fallacy, and I appreciate you bringing that up. If you have a flask, maybe fill it with hot chocolate or tea. And I know that sounds kind of like a fuddy-duddy advice, but alcohol can make you feel warm inside, but it actually causes your blood vessels to dilate. And when your blood vessels dilate, they dilate everywhere, especially on your skin. And when your blood vessels dilate on your skin, there goes the heat. So it actually is counterintuitive, but alcohol actually gets you colder quicker.
Yeah,
so that's a great point.
That's what I thought I had heard that. And you know, hot chocolate in a flask does not sound like a terrible idea.
That's
actually,
what I do.
Yeah, it actually sounds kind of delicious, to tell you the truth. I wanted to talk about a couple of health issues that are in the news this week. We heard about red dye number 3 being banned. What do we need to know? Is red dye number 3 something that's super common?
Oh, it certainly is. It's in candies, sausages and hot dogs, in cereals, nutrition shakes, gummy vitamins. It's everywhere. And you know, I think what we're seeing now is a pullback that's a little late in coming, but we're glad that it's here. These chemicals have a link to cancer. There's also a concern that potentially they're linked to hyperactive disorder in kids. But regardless, you know, the irony here is that this stuff was banned in cosmetics in the 90s because it led to thyroid cancer in rats. And yet we were still putting it in our kids' breakfast cereals, which is just bizarre to me. But regardless, it's coming away. But it's, again, as with any ban, it can't be overnight. You have to give people time to react. And it won't be gone fully until, you know, I think, January of 2028.
Oh, wow.
So something to look at. Unfortunately, it's like you can't breathe the water. You can't drink the water. You can't breathe the air. But I would advise folks, look at if you're buying something red, I know it sounds silly, but look at the packaging and see if the dye's in there, because it may still be out there in the marketplace for a while.
Is there, I mean, are there alternatives to it to, you know, so you can bypass something that has red dye number 3 and buy something else? Are alternatives available?
They are. I mean, because if you look at, you know, the types of food items, like icing, for instance, you know, certain red or pink frosting, for an example. Well, you can, you know, get a different colored frosting. Or, you know, there may be natural red additives that you can put in, and I'm sure I haven't Googled it. But, you know, for instance, your kid really wanted red cupcakes for their birthday. Well, there's probably some kind of additive that turns frosting red that doesn't have anything toxic in it that you can utilize. So that would kind of be my suggestion, is there's certainly alternatives, and if you can't find a good alternative, then you can kind of make one based on what's, you know, available sort of through research.
You know, I'm just going through in my mind, I'm thinking about, you know, things that turn things red. Beets would do that. You know, when you make beets, the water in which you boil them, if you're cooking them that way, instantly turn red, as do your hands and,
yes,
and everything else. There must be a way to incorporate, you know, some of that, a natural red, into whatever it is that you want, instead of using this chemical, which we now know is dangerous for you.
100%. I believe there's berries as well. Maybe goji berries can also turn. So I think, yeah, you know, certainly beets. Yeah, there's the bottom line is there's always an alternative, and it's just a matter of weighing risks and benefits. That's all.
Yeah, if you've got little kids, why take the risk? Look it up and see what you could do. One of the other big topics health-wise right now is the norovirus, still going strong. I believe the numbers are still going up. Am I correct on that? Of people catching,
yeah,
this horrible neurovirus,
yeah,
which is so debilitating. Everybody that I know that has gotten it has said, wow, it just packs a wallop.
There was a hospital in Chicago, I won't name names, but just briefly had to go on diversion because they had so many cases of viral illness, including norovirus. So it can be overwhelming, and it acts quickly. But the good news is it's not rarely is it deadly, and it's very simple to prevent if you're fastidious, if you really kind of keep at it. And number one is so alcohol, any kind of hand sanitizer, I just want to let people know, does not work well against the norovirus. It is impervious to alcohol, which is a big component of these sanitizers. Soap and water will get rid of it, meaning it'll wash it away, but it won't kill it. So bleach is the key. And certainly if somebody in your house has had a diarrheal illness, my suggestion is make a weak bleach solution in the bathtub and just go nuts on the house. The other thing that's easy to do is just get some bleach-based hand wipes, and I would use gloves, you know, latex or nitrile gloves if you're handling them, but you can wipe down all the surfaces in the house with the bleach, like counters and doorknobs especially, because people are constantly touching doorknobs. And those are great ways to kind of try and create a shield against this nasty virus.
Wow, that sounds insidious that you could wash your hands and it goes down the drain, but it doesn't kill it.
That's right.
It sounds like a science fiction movie, the virus that wouldn't go away.
Well, that's why these things, you know, they're around for billions of years because they're so wily. They also, by the way, noroviruses are relatively resistant to heat and can survive as high as 145 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, my
so,
gosh.
He's a real tough one. So, but bleach wipes and again, washing hands with soap and water will be super helpful to you.
Yeah, there are spray cleaners which contain bleach. Clorox makes one of them, of course. I would assume that something like that might be safe to use, right?
Sure, and if you're trying to save money, and you know, I certainly am not opposed to trying to pinch pennies. You know, you'll pay a premium for those solutions that are pre-made, and they'll say, you know, it'll kill 99.9% of, you know, of organisms, and it's true. But if you just take 5 to 20 tablespoons of household bleach per gallon of water, so that's 10 tablespoons in a gallon. Think about it that way.
Okay.
There you go. That's your nice weak bleach solution, and that's just as good as any product that comes ready-made.
And it's just a matter of really wiping things down in the house with this weak bleach solution to keep the norovirus out.
That's my go-to for sure, Dean.
Okay. Wow, that's good to know. What about, are there injections, things like that, vaccinations that people should be taking to fight the norovirus?
Unfortunately, no. I'm not aware of any. You know, I'll just remind folks as they're starting to you know, this is, it's so easy to let this play in your mind, and like you said, it becomes a bad science fiction novel. The good news, if there is good news, is that it doesn't tend to make people so sick that they die. So it's not a lethal, it does not tend to be a lethal virus. It just is miserable and can knock you out and certainly, you know, interrupt your work and childcare and things of that nature.
Yeah, that's what I've heard from people who have had it is... You know, they got through it, but they said it's like one of the worst flus or colds that you could possibly get. So why tempt fate with it all? Great information, as always. Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Stay warm out there, Doctor. Go get your hot chocolate.
You too, Dean. Thanks for having me.
Weatherman Bill Snyder going to be joining us live in a few minutes. And we'll get some more details on all this cold weather. He's the weather. I call him Tom Skilling Jr.
Yeah.
Because he is. He's the weather producer over at WGN TV and knows everything that there is to know about all this. So we'll get an update on him today.
An update from him.
From him is what I meant.
From him.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry. It's the cold weather.
It must be.
I think you should get an update on him and just get all the details.
Okay.
I mean, why
we'll
not?
Open get the it dossier. On him, from him.
Yeah, we'll get the dossier. Get the dossier.
Is fancy words today.
Are any of the football teams playing in super cold weather today?
That's a good question here. Philadelphia, but it's got to be freezing in Buffalo, for one.
It's always freezing. In July, it's freezing in Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo weather. Let's see to get the actual. I'm stepping on your toes here, Schwani. This is your
game. Yeah, I know. I'm looking it up, too. 23 in Buffalo right now, and they have a lake effect snow warning.
Well, see, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
So the Rams and the Eagles are playing today in Philadelphia?
In Philly, 37.
That's not too bad.
Yeah. See, we're the toughest right here, Chi-Town.
Yep. Bear weather.
That's right. Someday we'll play in the playoffs.
Yes, someday.
We'll get the dossier on that.
Dean, you have to remember 1985 and 1986 when town was so excited.
Some people texted in about this day in 1985. Are you talking about because the temperature was 26 below zero?
No, not so much that, but you're talking about football. 85, 86 was when the Bears won the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Well, it was pretty super cold.
It was cold, but boy, the excitement was in the air. It was electric.
Sure.
Yeah.
Several people texting in saying that they, somebody said that they moved here from Dallas.
Oof.
On this day in 1985. Imagine relocating to a city and the actual temperature is 26 degrees below zero. Welcome to Chicago.
Yeah. Yep. You know, and as you now know, the inauguration is going to be inside the Capitol Rotunda tomorrow.
Right.
That hasn't happened in 40 years. Ronald Reagan's second term, the oath of office was administered inside the Capitol because it was just too cold.
Here's what I remember from 1985. It was the actual temperature is 26 below zero. I had frost on my interior walls. The walls, well, they were, you know, exterior walls. But on the inside in my apartment, there was frost on the walls. That's how cold it was.
Frost on the walls inside?
Inside on the walls that faced outside.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If they were facing outside, you would have that.
Yeah.
You must have had poor insulation.
Yes, I did.
Did you have any deciduous trees in the yard?
Okay, now it's time to move on. Now it's time for the... How cold will it get? We'll find out from weather producer Bill Snyder over at WGN-TV in a minute. On my weekly cooking segment... Last couple of weeks, I've been making some delicious soups to keep you warm in this weather. I got a text this morning from the 630. Dean just finished making your Greek lentil soup. Yummy. It is pretty yummy. It's, you know what? It's my mom's and my grandmother's recipe. Nearly any Greek house makes a lentil soup. It's pretty much a staple, but it's super easy. There are very few ingredients. It's delicious on a day like this to have a nice big pot of soup going. Can't beat it. It's good stuff. So let's take a quick break here because I want to talk with Bill Snyder about the weather, and that will be coming up right after this. All right, 10:17. Dean Richards, Sunday Morning, WGN. And we're going to be dealing with some pretty, pretty, pretty cold weather the next few days around the Chicago area. Wanted to get some details on it all. And whenever I want to know anything about the weather, I go to weather producer Bill Snyder from WGN-TV, one of the most knowledgeable people I know. Good morning, my friend. I hope you're staying warm somewhere.
I sure am, Dean. Good morning to you, too, and all our listeners out there. How are you, my friend?
I'm just reflecting. When we talked to you a week or so ago, you had just come back from Jamaica, right? And now, you got this.
And now I'm dealing with below zero wind chills. How about that? How's that for a slap in the face?
Holy smokes. It's
I know, right?
Ridiculous. Right? I mean, I think Shawnee said 5 degrees. Above zero for the actual temperature right now, but the wind chill is obviously significantly below that. How bad
is?
Go ahead.
5 to 10 below, Gene. The wind chill right now is running between 5 and 10 below zero, and you know we went below zero in the wind chill department overnight this morning, and we're probably going to stay there uninterrupted until Wednesday afternoon. So it's. This is a pretty formidable cold spell, but, you know, nothing unusual by January standards in Chicago. You know, we've seen far worse. And what's interesting, Dean, is you know what tomorrow is, don't you? It marks a historic weather anniversary in this city that few people that have been around here for this long will ever forget.
Well, I believe I'm old enough to remember the big storm of 1967.
Oh, no, this is not has nothing to do with the snowstorm.
Oh, really?
No.
Are you talking about the 26 below?
Yes, 27 below zero on tomorrow's date 40 years ago, January 20th, 1985, Dean. And, you know, the wind chill calculator was modified back in 2001, so it wasn't quite as extreme with the numbers as it was, you know, prior to that. But 27 below, and on the current wind chill calculator, that correlated to a wind chill of minus 58.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
so we will not see anything close to that, which
right.
is good news. I mean, it's still going to be cold, and it's still going to be dangerous if you're outside for any length of time, but we will not be setting any records, which is a good thing. And I'll tell you, Dean, that cold spell was noteworthy because not only were we cold, but it went all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico and into Florida. They had record cold all the way down to, you know, Atlanta had 8 below zero. Jacksonville, Florida was down to 7 above. Tampa was down to 21. And Miami was down to 30 degrees. How would you like to be in Florida trying to escape the wintry cold and all of a sudden it's below
yeah.
freezing? So, I
yeah.
mean, it was... You know, the orange crop, there was, I think it was something on the range of 90% of the orange crop was damaged during that cold spell. So it's so that was something. And but fortunately, with this cold spell coming in, we will not be anywhere close to that.
But
so that's a good
but thing. It is about as widespread, isn't it? I mean, most of
oh,
the
it is.
Most
yes.
of the country is
yes.
going to be super cold.
Yep. Oh yeah. You know, looking at it, Dean is. You know, it's. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 80 million U.S. residents will share in our misery with waking up to below zero temperatures both tomorrow morning and Tuesday morning. So it is going to be fairly widespread. And as a matter of fact, what's interesting about it, Dean, is there is going to be a low-pressure system that develops in the Gulf of Mexico and that runs up and over that cold air that's already in place. So we've got locations such as Houston, Texas, New Orleans, and even into Tallahassee, Florida,
wow.
that are under the wintry weather gun. I mean, it's amazing. That, you know, Dean, they could see 3 to 6 inches of snow in Houston, Texas.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that something or what?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, this
wow.
will absolutely cripple them down there because they simply do not have any equipment to handle that kind of wintry weather. So it's going to be something, and you're going to hear a lot about that in coming days. You know, that'll be making, you know, we'll be making headlines up here for the cold, but they'll be making headlines down there with wintry weather. And, I would imagine, I mean, it's going to shut those cities down because they just cannot handle that kind of capacity of wintry weather.
So walk us through, how this is going to work now over the next few days. For
yeah.
today, temperatures are just going to continue to fall all day today, right?
You know, they're going to hold steady, Dean. So we're at 5 degrees right now. And even though we've got sunshine right now, and we'll see sunshine at times tomorrow, the temperature is not going to move much. We're in a fairly steady temperature regime. So during the day today, temperatures will hold in the 5 to 10 above range. And, we'll drop in many areas below zero tonight. Tomorrow, see temperatures in similar territory, and there may be even a few sporadic flurries or even a snow shower. I'm not expecting any, you know, noteworthy accumulations out of that, but there could be some flurries flying through the air tomorrow. And then the coldest day of all, Dean, is going to be on Tuesday. Tuesday morning, it's going to be fairly dangerous to be outside for any length of time. I mean, the wind chills on Tuesday morning could drop as low as 20 to 30 below zero. So that's a dangerous level of cold. You know, and the Weather Service is out ahead of that, and they've issued cold weather advisories for much of the area, as a matter of fact. And that is something new this year, Dean. They've replaced wind chill advisories with cold weather advisories. And, you know, if we were to get into that territory, which would be anything beyond minus 30, that is now dubbed as an extreme cold warning. It used to be called a wind chill warning, but now just a little, and again, this is just the change in the terminology that the National Weather Service uses. So, but we're all under a cold weather advisory in effect right now. So that's for wind chills that drop as low as 20 below zero. So
yeah.
it's going to be cold, and the cold is with us. Like I said, the heart of the cold hits on Tuesday, and then we start to moderate. I mean, we're not going to be heading down to Oak Street Beach or anything like that after that, but the good news is we'll be back in the 20s Wednesday afternoon, and by the end of the week, Dean, I think we'll even get above freezing back into the 30s, which is fairly typical for this time of the year. The normal high is around 31 degrees, so that's good news. It's going to be cold, but it's a fairly short-lived cold spell, so that's good.
Yeah, I've been telling people that, I mean, I think this is sort of typical for January in Chicago.
Oh, it is. And you know what's interesting, Dean? I was looking right around this time a year ago, and you know, we marveled at how mild the winter was last year. We had such a warm winter, and especially in February. February was, I believe, our warmest on record. And you recall, right before Tom Skilling retired, we had 70-degree temperatures and tornadoes. How crazy was that, you know? But a year ago, we had three straight days in mid-January. The 14th, the high was 3 above, the low was 10 below. The 15th, we had a high of 2 above and the low of 10 below. And on the 16th, we had a high of 3 above and a low of 7 below. So you're absolutely right, Dean. It's not uncommon at all each winter here in Chicago to have at least one cold spell that's fairly noteworthy, and that's what we got going right now.
What about snow? We have not really had very much of it.
We haven't
so far.
We haven't.
This year.
We're about six inches or so below where we typically are for this time of the year. And Dean, it's interesting. I don't see any significant storms on the horizon. When you get this cold, it makes it difficult to snow. It can never be too cold where it can't snow, but there's no weather systems, at least as far as I can see. And that doesn't mean that they're not out there. It just may be that it's beyond where I'm forecasting for the next 7 days. That's an interesting trend, and it's hard to believe that our friends down along the Gulf Coast may see more snow than in a single storm than we've seen all winter. How about that?
Yeah,
you know,
that's
it's crazy.
That's amazing.
That Houston, Texas, and even New Orleans, Dean. I can't remember the last time that New Orleans saw significant snow, and they're another city along the Gulf Coast that's anticipating a significant amount of snow. So that's really, really something.
Yeah, and all these the cities that you're mentioning, they don't have the equipment to deal with the snow.
They don't. So you know what, Dean? They just stay home and tell people to stay off the roads and you know what? They just wait for it to melt. That's all they can do down there, because as you said, I mean, we're fortunate enough up here that we have the equipment to handle winter storms, and they just simply don't down there because they're so infrequent.
Yeah, the news has come out over the last couple of days that the inaugural tomorrow will be held inside because it's also going to be very cold in Washington, D.C. What's the forecast there?
Temperatures in D.C., Dean, will start in the 20s, but they will fall throughout the afternoon. So as the inauguration takes place, temperatures will be in the teens, and we'll see wind chills drop to near zero in Washington. And as a matter of fact, they have a weather system that's moving through there today, and they may even get a fresh coating of snow in the range of 2 to 4 inches in Washington. So they got some snow coming through today, and then a cold hits right after that. So it's probably a wise decision because it won't be quite as cold as we'll see here. It's still a fairly dangerous level of cold to be outside for any extended period.
Yeah, to be outside for, it's at least an hour. It'll certainly go longer than that with all the festivities. So
it was a wise move
to move it someplace where...
I think so, too. And I was reading, Dean, I think that, it's not uncommon for them to get cold weather in Washington, but it looks like this could be one of the coldest inaugurations out there in four decades. So how about that? So I think that it is a wise decision moving it indoors. And again, while they won't be as cold as that historic cold wave that we saw 40 years ago that broke records here, of course, we just were talking about, and many locations out east and through the south, it's still going to be fairly darn cold, you know?
Yeah. What about, are we looking at, are you able to look at trends for the winter? Or is it just impossible to tell?
The folks that issue their long range outlooks, that's the Climate Prediction Center out of Camp Springs, Maryland, and they just came out with an outlook for February and going forward into spring. And what's interesting is, we were talking about our snow drought here, and it's not just in Chicago, Dean. If you go up north of us into Milwaukee, Green Bay, Minneapolis, a lot of locations across the upper Midwest have seen less snow than you typically see this time of the year. And I should mention that you know, as cold as we're going to see here the next few days, if we had a layer of snow on the ground, it would be far colder because snow cover is highly reflective. And, you know, 90% of the incoming solar energy is reflected back into space when you have a significant blanket of snow on the ground. Mm. We don't have that. So, you know, we would be talking probably high temperatures not getting above zero the next couple of days, Dean, if we had snow cover, which we don't. So that's a saving grace. You know, again, not trying to sugarcoat it because it's going to be pretty darn cold. It's going to be miserable. But, yeah, so again, we're dealing with a little bit of a snow drought. And but the folks out that, you know, issue these longer range forecasts are indicating that they are anticipating a trend towards wetter weather as we move into February and into spring. Now, whether that translates to snow or rain or a mixture remains to be seen. We just don't have the skill at forecasting that right now. But it'll be an interesting trend to follow. So I don't, you know, while we've not had a lot of snow yet, there certainly has been a trend, Dean, in recent winters to see our heaviest snowfall backloaded in the back part of the winter. And so, you know, for all our listeners out there, especially our snowplow drivers, I don't want you to be discouraged because winter is far from over, and I think we'll see our fair share of snow as we move into February and even into March, for that matter.
Yeah, we'll take it one day at a time. Use some common sense and use some precautions. We've dealt with weather
Absolutely.
Like this before. That's
we sure have, Dean. We sure have.
And keep WGN turned on, radio, television, the weather app. That's where Bill Snyder puts all of his info. You can stay up to date on what's going on. All right, my friend, it's always good to talk to you. I always appreciate when you're able to come on. I hope you have a great Sunday.
Thanks. You too, Dean. Happy Sunday to you and happy Sunday to all our listeners out there.
Coming up in a few minutes, Shwani, an interview that is tailor-made for you, me, people of a certain age that remembers the good old-fashioned record store.
Oh, yes.
Remember those?
Yes.
Go to the store, pick up a couple of 45s.
Oh,
maybe if you were, you know, saved up, you get yourself an LP vinyl album.
Uncle Dean, what's an LP?
I was telling Ron Brown here in the newsroom of just a few weeks ago, if I had money from a birthday or a Christmas present, it would be all of maybe $5. And I can remember spending a half hour deciding which album I really wanted.
Right.
I could only buy one.
Yeah, I would run the minute I would get my allowance.
Yeah, yeah, yes.
Or cut somebody's grass.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever income producing scheme I was in, I would.
What scheme you were in?
Right. Money making scheme. I would run to Woolworth's and get me a couple of 45s, get an album. That's how I got my Beatle wig.
Right, for a dollar.
That my $1 Beatles wig that I wish I still had. It would look,
so do I.
It would look very beautiful.
Would look lovely on a day like today.
All these years later, it would look like a rat sat on my head. But anyway, there's a new production that has just opened at the Black Ensemble Theater called Hit Records, which is set inside an old-fashioned record store. We'll hear some of the music from it. We'll talk with
a couple
of the actors. Get your spindles out, everybody. We're going to have some fun in a minute. 10:35. This is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN, and our weekend theater segment on the air featuring the brand new production that's up and running at the Black Ensemble Theater in Chicago. The production is called Hit Records and includes this, Land of a Thousand Dances, Lyle Miller performing as Wilson Pickett in this particular song, but it is the story of the Hit Brothers, who own an old-fashioned record store, and the Hit Brothers try to teach the young folks, their nephews, about the music and the artists and the genres. Two of the people starring in the show, joining us on the program this morning, Dennis Dent and Britt Edwards. Guys, welcome to WGN. Nice to have you with us.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having us.
So, Dennis, let me start off with you because you play one of the Hit brothers. You play Charles Hit. Did I explain what this is about? Why don't you take us, through this musical journey that Black Ensemble Theater is putting up right now?
Happy to. So the story is about two brothers who have a deep appreciation for music. They are small business owners. We are set on the south side of Chicago. It's a very realistic story wherein we are teaching our nephew about the diversity of music across all genres and giving him an appreciation for the music of today through the stories of the music of yesterday. So we travel through several decades of music. We have groups, solo artists. We talk about the background of each of the artists, and we do it in a way where you see the live performances of the artists that we talk about. So it's a real thrill to be a part of this production.
And Britt, you play many of the artists that they are talking about. Explain what you do in the show.
I do everything. Mainly I'm ensemble, but I do have a highlight moment where I am paying homage to the queen of disco, Donna Summer. I'm also in many groups, Sister Sledge, the Pointer Sisters. Who else? Oh, my God. I just had like a break. But I'm just like all over.
A lot.
So basically,
yeah, well,
singing, dancing.
Yeah.
You're going to see me in the whole production.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, the show, as I understand, I haven't seen it yet, but from what I understand, pays homage to some of the biggest names from mm-hmm. the 60s, 70s, 80s, even really into the 90s. Now, mm-hmm. both of you are probably much younger than I am to actually remember hanging out at the record store. I mean, good luck even finding a record shop anymore. But back in the day, that's what we did. You know, you get a couple of extra dollars and you run to the record store to, pick up whatever the latest and greatest was. Right, Dennis?
Yeah, you're right. So our story also follows along that same tenor. So you see customers coming in and out. One of the major themes of the story is everyone from every walk of life has a story to tell. So the customers themselves are hanging out in the store, inquiring about the artists and discovering new records. And through that, that's where you see the performances take place live and in person.
Now, Dennis, is this your first time working with Black Ensemble Theater?
No, it's not my first production. I've been fortunate enough to work with Black Ensemble on and off since 2017. This is my third production working with Daryl Brooks, who is the writer and director. He conceived this entire story. The great thing about working at the Black Ensemble Theater is that as an ensemble member, you get the opportunity to come back in different roles if you audition and get cast, and you get a chance to learn so much through the stories that we portray on stage.
Yeah, that's Britt. That's you. You must notice that. What's your history with Black Ensemble Theater?
So I'm a baby to Black Ensemble. I started with them about 2023, but I have been fortunate enough to, like as Dennis said, you get to come back and portray many artists. So I've portrayed some of the biggest names so far. And the thing I do love about Black Ensemble is the work is original. So it's like you're going to see a show that you've never seen in any other theater before. And with Daryl Brooks working with him, he's just magical as a director. He has a vision, and he always tells us to put our trust in his hands, and he always produces something that's magical. So this show is really good, and I'm proud to be a part of the Black Ensemble.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many shows that I've seen that were written and or directed by Daryl Brooks. He is magic. He is amazing. And I have no doubt that this show is like that. But this even goes back to, the way Black Ensemble Theater started with my longtime pal, Jackie, who founded it all. And these are the kinds of shows that she has always wanted to put on. celebrating music, all kinds of musical genres, and so beautifully with, you know, bringing in young, talented performers and great musicians. That's always been the history of Black Ensemble Theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Always, and we as the performers get not only the chance to portray these artists, but we sit in a seat where we can learn from Miss Taylor, who has this vast history, having lived through those times and those experiences. So every time you take the stage, it's you have your homework as a singer and a dancer, but you also, as a historian, you're learning a lot of information from the folks that came before us. So it's a wonderful once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to work down at the Black Ensemble.
Yeah. Now, the show has just recently opened. What kind of audiences are coming to see this? Are they, you know, old people like me or young people like you?
You know, that's what go ahead, Britt.
No, I was just going to say it's a mixture of old, young. Some as young as probably like 7. I had a young boy. It was his first theater experience.
Wow.
And he came to our preview, and he was just taken away. He asked for my phone number. But it's a family friendly show. I feel like the whole family can enjoy and learn from the production as well, and then take away some of the music that they may know and then some music they may not know and want to add it to their playlist or go to a record store and add to their collection. I recently, you know, got a record player, so I love my records and I love how the music plays on it. And it's just, I think it's just fun for all to go.
Yeah.
What about you, Dennis?
It's a completely different experience, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
yes.
But some of the music that you hear in the show, Hall & Oates, the Spinners, the Staple Singers, the Pointer Sisters, as you mentioned, Gloria Gaynor, Donna Summer,
mm-hmm.
the Temptations, Shalimar, mm-hmm. Bobby Womack, Sam and Dave, Cheryl Lynn, Percy Sledge, Phil Collins. Featured in the show. I mean, so it really, Dennis, it really spans all ages and all genres, doesn't it?
All ages, all genres, all experiences. So bring your friends, bring your kids, your grandkids. It's a show for everyone, literally.
Yeah. We're going to hear Britt doing Donna Summer's Last Dance coming up in just a couple of minutes. Give me all the details about the show. It is running until January 26th, is that right?
That's right. We run January 26th. Shows are on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and tickets are available at blackensembletheater.org. So you can find them there. The theater is located in Uptown if you want to make a trip and purchase your tickets at the box office.
Yeah, 4450 North Clark Street. You can get more information at blackensemble.org. I really appreciate both of you joining us. This is the perfect thing to do. Go see on a cold day. Get inside a nice, cozy, warm theater and check out Dennis Dent and Britt Edwards and the whole cast, all the musicians for this new show, Hit Records. It'll bring back a million memories for you. So the song Last Dance, Britt, do you want to set it up? What leads to you taking on this massive number?
Well, I don't know. Darryl Brooks always just gives me major artists to sing. I'm a little lady, but I do have a really big voice. And Donna Summer, she is great. So, this is Last Dance. And I hope you guys enjoy it.
Let's
check it out. The Black Ensemble.
Let's check it out. There you go. Taking you back to the disco days. The song Last Dance. It is our guest this morning, Britt Edwards, as Donna Summer singing the song. The show is called Hit Records. And as I say, set in an old-fashioned record store, all these great songs from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, mostly 60s, 70s, and 80s. Always Black Ensemble Theater putting on amazing shows with very talented performers. They have a live 8-piece orchestra, a band, providing all the music. It's always a great theatrical experience. Hit Records will be playing until January 26th. Black Ensemble Theater, 4450 North Clark Street in Chicago. You can get tickets by calling 773-769-4451 or by going to blackensemble.org. And again, thanks to our guests, Britt Edwards and Dennis Dent, for joining us this morning. So coming up after 11 o'clock, we've got some other good stuff still to come for you. I'm looking forward to a conversation with Judith Owen, who is a vocalist, just puts on an amazing show. She's coming into town at the venue called Space in Evanston. We're going to talk with her. We're going to hear some of her music all coming up in a little while. Plus, I wanted to share with you part of Dave Chappelle's monologue from last night. He hosted Saturday Night Live. And he was very funny, as always, very topical. But there was a section of his monologue in which he talked about Jimmy Carter that was very, very poignant. And he talked about Donald Trump and what his wish for Donald Trump would be as he takes over in the White House. It was very, very thoughtful and very touching. I want to share some of that with you in case you didn't stay up late last night to see it. That and so much more is coming up in just a few minutes. One above zero in Freeport.
One above zero in Freeport. 18 below wind chill. And as Tim was just reporting and as we've been reporting also, and Bill talked about this, Bill Snyder, an hour ago, Monday night, wind chill indexes in the outlying areas, maybe in minus 20s, the 25 below range. So,
my poor bald head.
That's why I was wondering where your hat was
today.
Well,
it's back with, with my coat. And for some reason, it's like super hot in the studio today. I hate to complain every week. That one week's too cold.
Once it's too cold, it's too hot. What do you want?
I don't know what the big deal
what
is.
Do you
I'm
want?
Just setting a thermostat and leaving it alone. What job would you not want in this weather? I would not want to be the guys that I saw. They were, I don't know if it was, it was a ComEd crew. They were doing something outside, whatever. I'm sitting, in my car with the heat on full blast. And these poor guys are out in the cold. I would not want that job.
Yeah, hats off to them and all the people that have to deal with outside requirements with their jobs in this weather.
Yeah,
definitely.
What job would you not want to have?
No school tomorrow for MLK Day, but on Tuesday when this is continuing, I don't think I'd do a very good job as a crossing guard.
Yeah.
That would not be.
Right.
Although I would pay money to see you interacting with all the little kids.
You got this. I'll be in my car. Sorry.
Yeah, you can go if you want to. No, stay over there.
I believe in you.
School crossing guard. Yeah, that would not be good. Shawnee?
I would have to go along with that. Again, our hats off to our first responders, our firefighters that have to go out in the middle of the night in these temperatures and not just deal with the cold, but the challenge of getting the water to flow and run effectively. Definitely. And you mentioned the ComEd workers. I'm thinking of all these guys in my neighborhood that are trying to fix that water main there, too.
Right.
They need to be outside.
That can't be pleasant.
No.
Now I feel bad that the studio's too hot.
Imagine the window washers are off during this time, and I wouldn't want to be out there if it was 80 degrees and perfect. That is, those guys, whatever they make, women, whoever are doing those jobs,
yeah.
I would personally endorse quadrupling their pay.
Leave the windows dirty.
It's totally fine.
We'll live without it. Yeah, we'll live without clean windows for a while.
Yeah. Not that our windows have ever actually been clean here, but
yes, they have. I've seen them clean the windows here.
They fly by the sports studio. I've seen the dude.
Yeah. Really? Oh, yeah.
Scared the hell. It's quite frightening out of nowhere.
I'm looking at the same bird dropping that I've seen here since
since we moved in.
Since we moved into the building, it's been there.
The beautiful soup song from Alice in Wonderland. Gene Wilder.
This is a soup day today. Get yourself a nice big pot of soup someplace. How about a nice big bowl of chili right now? How about that? Mmm. I could go for that right now myself. I've had quite a few people the last several weeks on my TV cooking segment. I've been making a variety of soups, you know, for the cold weather. But last week, I don't know, we've been getting just a ton of response for this Greek lentil soup that I made last Wednesday. It's actually my mom's and my grandmother's recipe, I imagine. For a lot of Greek people, probably a lot of moms and grandmothers' recipes. It's really simple. We've got the recipe posted online, Schwani, because I'm sure you're going to want to go home and make some lentil soup today.
You know, you are much more ambitious in the kitchen than I am. I'll buy a nice lentil soup and
well, let's go. You know, well, canned soup is fine. You ever look at the sodium on the?
Oh, I know. Yeah,
canned soups or the sugars.
Yep. 78%.
It's a little bit through the roof.
Mm-hmm. I
mean, it's momentarily gratifying, but
a lentil soup sounds great.
Homemade soup is not that hard to make.
No.
Here's what's in this.
Well, can you make some for me then?
I have some at home. I should have.
You should have brought some.
If I was a nicer friend, I would. I know that's
exactly what I was thinking, but I wasn't going to say that.
We've been saying that for quite a while now. But I've never brought you any of the food. Then,
no, you haven't. But
Carl, do you like a nice bowl of soup?
You've set expectations, Dean. I wouldn't vary myself.
What's your favorite soup?
Oh, my favorite soup?
I'm going to guess Carm is a, let's see, I'm going to say chicken, like a chicken noodle soup, chicken rice, chicken, like chicken broth with something in it.
It's. I mean, end of the day, if I could only have one soup for the rest of the time, you're right, I would not vary from that. That's like a staple. You have to have it in times of need. But off the board... Yeah, I don't know, Dean. A mushroom barley can really kick in if you need
that'd
it.
That'd be great. Yep.
That's good. Yep. How about a cream of tomato soup?
There you go. Oh, yes. Now.
Knocks down the grilled cheese, get the whole thing going.
You know what I make? French onion grilled cheese sandwiches. So they're grilled cheese sandwiches with caramelized onion.
Oh, yeah. Those would be awesome.
With the creamy tomato soup. I've made that in the past.
You know what? It helps a tomato soup, whether it's a creamy soup or not, is basil. Tomato basil soup.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's good with beer, too.
it's like the salt and the sweet. It's the hot and the cold.
It's the yin and the yang.
That's right.
Of tomato soup. My favorite soup, French onion soup.
That's your favorite?
You like French onion soup?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
If it's done right, that probably is a fair call. Even I'll switch to my pinnacle.
With the cheese and the bread in it?
Oh, the cheese.
It's got to be done.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Peeling that cheese off of the bowl that's been melted on. You're sitting there like it's your last meal. Peeling melted cheese off the side of a soup bowl.
And then mixing it in with the rest of the broth.
Bread,
yeah.
The bread that's in
love
there.
It.
It's good soup.
Yes, sir.
All right, but this lentil soup, let me tell you, this is really delicious soup. It's my mother used to say this is like a peasant soup because there's practically nothing in it, but it's super delicious and super healthy too, by the way. Lentils are incredibly healthy for you, but it's carrots. Can you cut up some carrots?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you cut up some onions?
Mm-hmm.
Celery?
Mm-hmm.
You're done.
Really?
That's it. You put, I happen to use vegetable broth, but you can use chicken broth if you want to. Take a can of whole tomatoes, pour that into the chicken broth, and break up the tomatoes, you know, with your hands. So you wind up, so the tomatoes are kind of chunky, yet they release the tomato flavor into the broth themselves. but you saute the onion, the celery, the carrots with some garlic, saute it so it gets a little soft, and then you put in a few spices, oregano, cumin, paprika, salt and pepper, put the lentils in, done.
And how long do you let it simmer?
About an hour.
Oh, yeah, that would smell great.
Bay leaves in it? Bay leaves are, to me, that's like the magic ingredient. It adds such an incredible flavor, but it's really pretty simple. If you want to see the full recipe, we've got to post it online, wgntv.com/DeanCooks. You can see the video of me making it. Also, I managed to make it without cutting myself or setting myself on fire.
Good to go.
So that's, I consider that a big plus anytime that I can do that. But make yourself some soup today.
I'll think about it.
I'm motivated. Not going to happen, but you have motivated me. Like I could do it.
I like Carm's honesty about this. Shwani is like completely not going to do it. Shwani's going to run to McDonald's and get a filet-o-fish sandwich.
Well, it's leaning into
things. No, not there. I'll go somewhere else and get a filet-o-fish sandwich. Actually, I could make my own filet-o-fish sandwich because I have everything at home right now.
Oh, you can make a filet-o-fish sandwich, but you can't make my soup recipe.
I need to get a pot big enough for it.
Oh, come on. You don't have a soup pot?
I'll have to dig around in the cabinet.
How old are you? Wait a minute. Now that I think of it.
Don't go there.
You're probably making soup on an open fire now that I think of
don't
it.
Don't go.
11:21. Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN. Wow, a lot of soup suggestions on our text line here before we move on. Dean made some chicken soup with homemade matzo balls. Haven't made it in decades. Oh, but that was good. Here is one. Dean, French onion soup is also my favorite. We have a little French restaurant in Wheaton called Suzette's. I guarantee you'll never have French onion soup the way that they make it. For some reason, I want to say that I've been to Suzette's. I don't know if I've had their soup or not. But a good French onion soup, wow, can't beat it. Somebody, 312 area code, had the most delicious tomato bisque yesterday. Oh, yeah, that is good. Split pea with ham is the best. I've got a recipe for that. I made it just after Easter when I had the big ham bone left over. I made a nice split pea soup. So if you want to see the recipe for that, we've got that posted. 847 area code, where is that lentil soup recipe? Same place. All my recipes, all the cooking videos, all at WGNTV.com/DeanCooks. WGNTV.com/DeanCooks. I went to a restaurant last night in downtown Skokie called Libertard, which is, to call it a Mexican restaurant doesn't do it justice. It's a very eclectic menu. Very interesting, really delicious menu, but they serve a soup kind of like a little starter. They bring these tiny little demitasse cups of the soup that they made last night. It was a sweet potato soup that was spiced. I want to say maybe it wasn't jalapeno. It wasn't quite that spicy. But it was a really interesting, maybe a chipotle. It was kind of a smoky taste. Sweet potato and some kind of smoky spiciness. I have to get the recipe for this soup. It was so delicious. But if you want to check it out, Libertard Restaurant, downtown Skokie, the food was spectacular.
Did you get dessert? This menu looks amazing.
Yes, I did get, what did I get? The
there's a seasonal sundae. There was an abuelita chocolate bread pudding.
That's what I had.
That's amazing.
I had the bread pudding. That was amazing.
Mm. Mm. Good job, Dean.
It's a good restaurant. Really, really good stuff there. So if anybody can steal their recipe, their soup for me, I would love to recreate it on television and take all the credit for it myself. So last night, are we going to have time? Yeah, we are going to have time. I watched the Saturday Night Live. Dave Chappelle was the host, and he was great and funny and completely irreverent, as he always is. But there was a moment toward the end of his monologue last night. I think a lot of people expected him to be super political, and he was not because of the inauguration tomorrow. But there was a moment in which he talked about his hope for Donald Trump, which is very interesting and touching and poignant. But he also talked about Jimmy Carter, which was really very touching and very poignant as well. Do we have that here? No, we don't. Darn it. You know what? I'll play it. I'll play it in just a couple of minutes here, because I don't think we're going to be able to find it quickly enough. Let me see. Wait.
I watched most of the monologue, and I think I missed this part. So
this was at the end of it, where he talked about, you know, he talked about lots of things, but he tied in the ceasefire that's going on right now, and how back in the day, Jimmy Carter, against all advice, went to the Middle East and went to the Palestinian section. To, you know, try to bring some compromise to all this that is going on. I don't want to spoil what Dave Chappelle had to say by trying to recreate it. So hang on, and I'll get that on for you in a couple of minutes. We did have that up and ready to go, and for some reason the computer is not cooperating. All right. Well, anyway, we'll get to that in a second or two. Also coming up, we have our longtime pal, Judith Owen, who's going to be joining us, jazz singer, who is quite extraordinary. She's going to be performing at Space in Evanston next Friday night. And we're going to talk with her. We're going to hear some of her music coming up in a little while. Also, we're going to talk with the folks from the Chicago Restaurant Week, which is coming up. This is Chicago Restaurant Week is a fantastic week to get out there and check out some great restaurants in the Chicago area, because during that week, they offer some amazing discount prices, you know, just to get people out and to come into the restaurants, especially this time of year when it's cold outside and nobody wants to go outside. It's a great opportunity to check out some new restaurants and to save a little money at the same time. So we'll talk with them and give you all the details about that coming up. Before we move on here, Carm, what do we have coming up sports-wise today at 12:45?
We got Northwestern at Michigan. Cats coming off a buzzer-beating win at home over Maryland. And Michigan lost their first game of the conference season at Minnesota on a 40-foot buzzer beater. So Cats really could use some road wins. Going to be tough to get it today. They're a 10-point underdog, but hey, they've been. Hopefully, they'll be in the game.
773 area code saying there is not enough Mark Carmen on WGN.
Thank you, Dad. Appreciate it.
Good to hear from you. We need more Carm. It says.
Aw, thank you. Appreciate that.
Very nice. Very nice. Schwani, no emails about you this morning.
Oh, that's okay.
Nobody's saying we need more Schwani.
What about you?
No, people are saying, please take him off. How can we preempt his show more often?
It's good to be loved. It's good to not be loved. It's both sides.
Either way.
You have to deal with it, right?
Yeah, just spell my name right. It's all I care about. Okay. Well, that's all I have. Are you ready to do the news by any chance?
I am, yes. And we have plenty of news to go around of today and tomorrow.
All right, very good. Well, let's get to that then. We'll proceed with all the things that technically got screwed up here a few minutes ago. So take it away. That is some great stuff right there. Wow. Judith Owen and the great I Put a Spell on You. She is one of the great jazz singers. I hesitate a little bit because I think her music is so multi-dimensional that it exceeds a simple definition like that. But Judith Owen is coming back to the Chicago area. She'll be at Space in Evanston this coming Friday, the 24th, 8 o'clock show. And Judith, welcome back to WGN. What a treat to talk to you again.
Jane, how lovely to speak to you again. It's been too long.
And to hear your voice now on the phone and that music, you have made my Sunday morning, right?
Oh, you are such a sweetheart. And yeah, you're right. It's not just jazz, it's blues, it's singer-songwriter, it's rock, it's everything. But it's always got that jazz feeling to it. But I cover many things. You know that over these years.
Yes, indeed.
You've seen and heard it, yeah.
Yes, indeed. And I have a new admiration for you. Any performer who comes to Chicago in January... when the temperature is going to be...
What was I thinking?
Near zero.
It reminds me maybe of the first time I ever came to Chicago. And this all comes back to Dan Filato, our mutual friend, who I'm very grateful to for reconnecting us. And I was wearing an Eddie Bauer coat that was so huge, I may as well have just been wearing a mattress.
Right.
I fell over and I couldn't get back up because I'd been told that the Chicago winters were so bad that I had to, like, you know, overdress. And honestly, I just looked like a turtle on my back. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's all of us when we were kids. Our parents would dress us up that way and then say, go outside and play. But you couldn't move. you couldn't move. You couldn't do anything because you had so many layers on. And as you say, a coat that was like a mattress wrapped around.
Oh, it's ridiculous. But I honestly, no, I couldn't hurt myself. I tried ice skating in it. And I swear to God, there were no bruises at the end of that. None whatsoever. But I am, you know, I'm coming straight. I'm in New Orleans right now, where I spend most of my time in America. And we're coming from here. Now, normally it would be, you know, it would be a shock to come from here, but we've got this Arctic freeze hitting us from Canada. So I think we're going to be broken in slightly.
Yeah, it'll get you ready for it. The whole country pretty much is going through this deep freeze right now. So, you know, we just have to be ready for it, and it'll be fun. You know, what I'm saying is, first of all, the worst of the cold is going to be over by Friday. It's going to start to moderate a little bit. But what a great way to break out of your cabin fever after being locked in your houses for a few days with this cold weather. Get over to Space in Evanston and check out Judith's show. Tell me about the show. Tell me. I'm sure it's grown. It's, you know, changed. It's morphed.
I want you to come, and you probably can't because you've got all these early mornings that stop you from doing all these things, but late at night. But it's morphed into what you just heard right there was a live performance from Marion's in Switzerland, and it really has been an incredible thing that's happened since COVID. I decided in lockdown that I was going to be making records with the incredible musicians, the fine musicians that here in New Orleans. You can't get better, let's be honest. And so I formed my current band, who I call the Gentlemen Callers, because they don't call me and they're not gentlemen, so what else can I say? But I mean, they really are the kind of all stars of this city, and it is a city that is deeply rich with great music. So I'm bringing those men with me to space, because this is the breakout after Christmas. You know, we've gone through that period of utter cold, and we've got through the crazy season of Christmas. And by the way, the only thing I miss not coming to Chicago and doing these days is to bring our show that we used to do, Harry and I used to bring every year to space, Christmas Without Tears, and we stopped doing that during COVID because it was too hard to travel. We only do it here now in New Orleans, and it's a massive show at a big concert hall here. But one of these days we'll return. But Space is one of my, I say it all the time, Space is one of my favorite venues in the whole of America. It is such an extraordinary place to see music. They really do know how to treat musicians, how to nurture musicians and bring the best out of you. It's a very rare thing to come across a venue that is so respectful and appreciative of music and musicians. And I think it's a bit of a jewel that you have there in Evanston. And I first played there with Richard Thompson years ago, and I've been returning ever since because I just fell in love with it immediately and the people that own and run it. So I'll be bringing my guys there, and it will be a six-piece horns, extraordinary drummer from the incredible Jameson Ross, who also plays with Snarky Puppy. Some just ridiculous players. David Tokunowski on piano. My guitarist is coming in from France. It's an opportunity for us to get back in the saddle and to get back to touring, because we've, you know, haven't played for a couple of months together now, really. And I'm just gearing up to go on the road for the rest of the year and also to record the next album. So, people of Chicago, you'll be the first to hear the next iteration, which is deeply jazz, deeply blues, deeply rock, and deeply thrilling.
It sounds absolutely amazing. You know, as you're talking about this, you know, I'm thinking, you know, everybody is so busy around Christmas time with obligations and family and get-togethers. And this is the now that we're a couple of weeks past all of that, now is the time where you can relax and do the things that you actually want to do. So, you know, your discretionary time has returned to you. And this is a perfect way to enjoy some of that. Let me take a quick break and we'll come back. I want to talk a little bit more about the show, All with Judith Owen, this coming Friday, January 24th at Space, 1245 Chicago Avenue in Evanston. I'll tell you how to get tickets coming up in just a few minutes, and we'll be right back after this. Our name
is... How delightful is that?
Judith Owen.
You are the cutest one.
Coming to Space next Friday, the 24th, 1245 Chicago Avenue in Evanston. Tickets available through the Space website. That's probably the best way to do all that. Tell me about this song that we're listening to here, Judith. That is so delightful.
Oh, you're so kind. You know, I made this album called "Come On and Get It" in 22 during the pandemic, and it was a real celebration. I went back to the things that made me, that influenced me and inspired me as a child, and they were the much forgotten ladies, the unapologetically badass ladies of jazz and blues, who were in my father's collection in London. My father, the opera singer, you have to understand how rare and unique a situation this is.
And that would be an outstanding title for an album, by the way, The Badass Ladies of Jazz.
Yeah, truly, The Badass Ladies of Jazz and Blues. And I count myself as one of them, of course, because what they did was I heard Nellie Lutcher and Julia Lee, the Kansas City bomber that she was, and the woman that wrote this song, Mary Lou Williams. And these were all women that nobody even knows their names anymore, hardly at all, but they were the women at the piano in late 40s, early 50s, who were singular and one of a kind and unique, and they were the band runners, they were the front women. And when I heard this music as a child, it had such a deep effect upon me, because they sounded so confident and full of joy and exactly as you hear this song right now. Now, she wrote it whether it was for or not, but it was a huge hit for Nat King Cole, Satchel Mouth Baby, and it is just a delightful song that, again, it was a collection, as I said, of the woman. These women's songs, but it's music that makes you want to get up and dance down, you know, around the room, down the street. It is so full of joy and hope. And when I did this during COVID, it was for exactly that purpose, because we were all feeling so gloomy and depressed and scared. And it was the antidote that I needed and that I knew my listeners needed to have something that was... picked your spirits up, and I am so grateful to these women and the way they influenced me to want to be that kind of woman myself. I mean, the you asked me earlier about what's the difference between, you know, what I'm doing now and the last time you saw me, and I think one of the biggest differences is that I got out from behind the piano. Even though I'm at the piano for a lot of the songs, I actually get up, stand up. And I'm that front woman. I'm that person who gets to kind of, you know, own the stage and be that entertainer, which is something that I've always loved being and wanted to do. So this kind of was a bit of a breakout experience for me. And now I find that I've kind of blossomed into somebody who who has done everything that I've ever dreamt of doing when it comes to being on stage and theatrically. And it's amazing to be, as you know me to be, a larger-than-life performer and somebody that is, you know, wants to enjoy the audience and have that experience and that communication with the audience, and to be loved for being myself on stage, for being my authentic self. It's really an extraordinary thing, and that's all been happening in the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's it seems to be missing to me. When I go to see performers, there is, there's sort of a barrier between the performer and the audience. They're mm-hmm. going through the motions on stage, but they don't connect with the chemistry with the audience member doesn't seem to be there. So I'm so happy to hear that.
Are
young people coming to see jazz? Or is
yes, they are.
Are they?
Yes, yeah. they are. I mean, this is what is extraordinary. And you know, to me, the audience is such an important part of the show. I mean, I'm not doing anything without you there. And I'm certainly not doing the way I do it without you there. And I want to have that conversation with you because it goes round. You know, I can feel the audience just the same as the audience feel me. So it is a conversation that we're having. And I despair of artists who don't seem to even acknowledge that there are people sitting there who are part of this experience. That's what it's all about. That's what music's about. But what's amazing to me is that there has been a renaissance, especially in Europe, and in New York I'm seeing it hugely, where young audiences are a huge part of who comes to see me. I mean, I'm amazed by it. I play in a place in New York which is the oldest speakeasy called the Django, and it's an extraordinary room, but the majority of the audience are young people, young couples, people going out. They want to go somewhere where they get to see something exciting and thrilling and entertaining, and it's a new audience that I'm seeing all the time. And I see the same thing in Europe, where, of course, jazz and blues and this kind of music has always had a great audience anyway. But this is music. This is living music. And we're in New Orleans, the reason why I'm here is because there is youth and excitement and vitality. This is not something that lives in a museum. This is not something that's part of history. This is a living art form, and it needs young people, it needs youth and life to be brought to it to reinvent, re-encourage, and to reach a new audience. And so it's so exciting for me to be part of this and to see this. I mean, I've got a band that goes from, you know, 20s to 60s, and it's sort of like it's an amazing thing to see that richness. And that versatility, remembering that I'm also getting to the piano, as you know me and you've seen me before, and doing that thing like, you know, Put a Spell on You, and then my own music, my own compositions, my own writing.
Yeah.
So it goes into all these different places, but it's so wonderful to see audiences respond to and be completely open to hearing so many styles, genres, to not turn away from it, but be excited by it. That's a thrill, because we're all so scared that these things are just going to, you know, die out.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like that's going to be happening anytime soon.
No.
I don't know. Are you living in New Orleans, or are you is home in the Los Angeles area for you and Harry?
I'll give you a little bit of an insight into what just happened in the last couple of weeks. We do live most of the time in New Orleans because ultimately that's where musically I'm bound to and where I do most of my work. But we still live part-time in L.A. and London. If anybody's wondering where on earth could I be from with this accent, I say that jokingly, of course.
I was going to guess
obvious.
Alabama, but yeah.
Oh, obviously Alabama, yeah. Obviously. or Brooklyn, maybe. But
yeah.
So we were here for New Year's. And, of course, there was that terrible attack on Bourbon Street, which was just so terrifying and so heartbreaking. And then we decided, you know what, Harry had work to do back in L.A., so two days later we were flying back to L.A. thinking, oh, this is going to be this is going to be a bit of a relief getting away from that you know, the fear and the sadness
tragedy,
at that point. Nobody knew if there were IEDs all over the quarter.
Right.
And we were eight blocks away from it anyway, so it was very nerve-wracking. And then we get to L.A., and of course, 2 days later, the horror begins. And I have to say, it's one of the most frightening things I've ever experienced. When you live in L.A., you get used to wildfires. It's just part of nature. Nothing I've ever seen is like this. Was what has just happened. I mean, it was like a firebomb going off, and that's because of the hurricane, you know. Like winds. I mean, it was the most shocking thing I've ever experienced.
Been described to me by a friend who lives there and was evacuated. Fortunately, is okay. But like she told me, biblical, apocalyptically biblical. When you step out your door, it looks like an apocalyptic, post-apocalyptic movie.
That's correct.
That is correct. So, hopefully.
And that word came up a lot. Well, both those words, but apocalyptic, definitely. And we evacuated and came back here. Of all things, it's sort of like, well, who would have guessed that this would be? But you know, not without having bronchial problems, without having nosebleeds for 4 days, for having, you know. So I tell people, it's sort of like the devastation of homelessness is like nothing you've ever seen in your entire life. It looks like scenes post-war, and it really is like a warscape.
That's what it looks like on the news.
It truly does. But when you looked out in the morning, all you saw was black sky, and I know that it's going to take a toll on an awful lot of people's health. I mean, not just mental, obviously, and devastating. Luckily, we didn't lose anything but physical well-being. It was so shocking, and I like I said, to be, because it was in a circle, you know, the whole way around L.A. It was so utterly terrifying. So I feel deeply for all the people in L.A. that are, you know, there are stories of miraculous savings of things, and luckily there so far was not the greatest life loss, but it's still. I have never seen anything like this.
Horrible,
ever.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Better days ahead for everybody. There's so much in the world that's going on. But Friday, January 24th, we focus on the space in Evanston, where you can see Judith Owen performing. If you go to the space's website, you can get tickets. And my love to you, my dear, and my love to Harry.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, you're such a great support to us both. And I have to say, after the most bizarre few weeks, and in a world that is seemingly constantly unhinged and strange, there is nothing that feels as good as sharing music, as doing music, as being able to do the thing that I do, and to bring this joy and light and sharing it with the wonderful people that I get to play for. So I really do appreciate this interview with you today. I really do.
Looking forward to seeing you. Judith Owen, thank you. We'll keep you posted on what you need to know with this cold snap that's coming through. Do you have any good advice for the cold weather, Shwani?
Bundle up. I would also recommend use caution while being outdoors.
Do you have any emergency stuff in your car? I put emergency stuff in my car.
You know what? My girlfriend, Gilda, gave me the best emergency kit I have ever seen for my car.
This is what I have in my car. I've got extra windshield washer stuff.
Okay.
Because that you go through that stuff like crazy.
Yeah, you do, especially this time of year.
I've got a thing if my battery dies where I can jolt my battery.
Yeah, right. Jumper cables, right?
Well, the jumper cables, but also like this battery thing
that's a very good idea.
Like, I don't need to find somebody else to give me a jump.
This will get you kind of jump start your battery with a battery.
I'm hoping.
You know what? In all seriousness, it's just like nobody has spare tires in their cars anymore, but we forget about that. If you do and you need it and you haven't put air in it in a very long time, it's not going to work too well. So you might want to monitor that battery.
I might not have a spare tire.
There are newer model cars, right, Mark, that do not have spare tires in them.
Yeah, I've inspected those, and they not enough spare tires in there. And
I don't know if I have a spare tire or not. I don't even know.
There's a 0% chance, I think, that me and or Dean would be changing the tire. Am I wrong about that, Dean?
I have to check with my chauffeur to see if... No, but I mean, I could change tire if I needed to. I have changed tires. It would not, if I was outside right now, I would just leave the car and go buy a new one.
Uber,
right.
But, you know, just one thing very quickly here. You asked me about some advice quite seriously. It's what Bill Snyder was talking about earlier. It's amazing how quickly the human body can be affected by cold, been bitter cold weather. Wear a hat. Anything that's going to keep you warm out there, and stay inside as much as you can.
Yeah, cover up.
Absolutely.
If you have to be outside.
And please check on people that may need help.
Right, right. Make some soup for me.
Oh, that lentil soup would be terrific. You want to come over and make it for me?
I've got leftovers at home. I'll bring you some.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'll be waiting.
About, let's see. Probably about a 2-quart container it's in.
Mm-hmm.
That would be about $12 for you.
Oh.
I'll give you a special.
You're gonna,
family and friends rate.
You're going to make me buy it from you.
You know what? We're living in difficult times now, Schwann. You got to do what you got to do. 12:14, this is Dean Richards. Our Sunday morning show, wrapping up a little early today, 12:45. Make room for Andy Mazur calling the cats today. Forward to that. In the meantime, I'm going to get into a little bit of food talk here today. I was sharing my recipe earlier that I made on my weekly TV cooking segment for Greek-style lentil soup. It's called fakes. If you grew up in a Greek household, you had fakes. I mean, it's, my mom, my grandmother used to make it. I made it just the way they made it. I think it's my mom's recipe. I believe, my mom, when I would ask her for a recipe for something, she would always give me the, I don't write anything down. Yeah, I know the recipes, but I just know a little of this, a little of that. I don't have an actual written down recipe. So I would watch her. When she would, make things, prepare things, and I would estimate what, how much of this she's putting in, how much of that she's putting in. And then, I would try it and it wouldn't be exactly right. I would, try it again, modify it a little bit. I think I've got this lentil soup recipe down pretty much on target. It tastes and smells just like my grandmother's and my mother's Greek lentil soup. Pretty delicious. And I made it the other day. Big hit with everybody who tried it at the TV morning show. I've had so many people, I guess it's the cold weather, so many people telling me that they've already made the soup and how much they enjoyed it. So I'm glad you did. I've had quite a few people this morning tell me that they're making the soup this morning so they can enjoy it for dinner later on tonight. But tons of soup recipes coming in today. 815 area code sent one in for stuffed green pepper soup. It's all the stuff that you would put in a stuffed green pepper. Obviously green pepper, rice, probably ground beef. Although I would argue that you could substitute ground turkey for ground beef in a soup and nobody would know the difference. And it winds up being way healthier. Much less fat content for a ground turkey. And that kind of application, I'm all for making the substitution. What did I make the week before? Oh, I made lasagna soup the week before. I've got a great recipe on the TV cooking website for a lasagna soup. It's all the things you would put in lasagna, except it's in a soup form. And the recipe calls for using ground pork and ground beef. I substituted ground turkey and Italian turkey sausage. You could not tell the difference. while it's in a soup form, can't tell the difference. And way, way, way more healthy that way. That recipe and the lentil soup recipe are on the TV cooking website. It's where we have all the recipes, where we have all the videos, WGNTV.com/DeanCooks. But thank you for that green pepper recipe. Split pea was sent in. Chicken and dumplings. How about that on a nice cold day? Ooh, that would sound good. Split pea, tomato bisque. What else did we get here today? Oh, somebody sent in, I had mentioned that I went to Libertad Restaurant, Latin American restaurant in downtown Skokie last night, and had a spectacular soup that they serve. It's a sweet potato soup, I think with chipotle. I'm not 100% sure what's in it. I got to see if I can get a recipe, because I would love to make it at home and have it again. It was amazing. But somebody texted in that they went to Emilio's Tapas in Hillside last night for dinner, enjoyed all the items, and started with a delicious bowl of asparagus soup. I love asparagus soup. And they talk about their experience. They met Emilio. He happened to be there last night. He started the restaurant in 1988, it says. He's such a friendly, happy person. And a wonderful creative chef from Jim in Buffalo. So, you know, people are also having some good experiences, at some restaurants. But here is a text from 224. I'm in the process of making a ground turkey vegetable soup as you speak. Healthy and delicious. I'm telling you what, in soup, I would use the ground turkey. It's flavorful, it's delicious, much less fat, much less sodium. Dean, I'm warming up a white bean and escarol soup that I made yesterday. Oh, that sounds good. The escarol and bean soup, delicious. 847 area code, Dean, I have a bag of dry lentils sitting here and been looking for a great recipe. Is the lentil soup your favorite lentil recipe? How do I get the recipe? Well, I don't know if it's my favorite recipe, but it's among my favorites. It's super delicious and super nostalgic, because it brings back memories. You know, foods bring back memories of family. It does of my mom and my grandmother. But again, you can get the recipe for this lentil soup. WGNTV.com/DeanCooks. WGNTV.com/DeanCooks. All right. So enjoy those soups. And we take a quick break. We'll talk about Restaurant Week coming back to Chicago next. It's time to eat. Welcome into Food Time, Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show, the award-winning All Things Edible program, heard every Sunday at this time. And today we're going into Chicago area restaurants for some great deals as Chicago Restaurant Week continues. Jordan Engerman is Vice President of Partnerships for Choose Chicago. They're the people behind Chicago Restaurant Week. And Jordan, welcome to WGN. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
I love, I don't know whose idea it was to start Restaurant Week in Chicago, but hats off to them. Because this is such a great opportunity to get into some restaurants that you may have never been to before and save a boatload of money, right?
Absolutely. So when you said started Restaurant Week, it actually started 18 years ago. So we are in our 18th annual Chicago Restaurant Week. It's hard to believe. We once started out with just a mere 44 restaurants participating, and this year we have an all-time high of over 500 restaurants participating.
Wow.
So it's really continues to grow and grow every year.
So explain what happens during Restaurant Week, which, by the way, begins next Friday, January 24th, and goes until February 9th.
That is correct. Yep. Restaurant Week is January 24th through February 9th. Essentially, it's a citywide celebration where restaurants prepare prefixed meals for lunch, brunch, and dinner. The lunch and brunch option this year is $30 per person. And then for dinner, there are two price points. There's a $45 meal option and a $60 per person meal option. Restaurants can do either one, or they can offer a menu at both. And all of these menu options exclude tax, gratuity, and beverage. So it's really an opportunity for restaurants to showcase what they do best, put together a great prefixed menu at a great value price, and really encourage diners to get out there, try new restaurants, explore neighborhoods, go places maybe you thought about once, but maybe it was a little bit out of your reach. But now with Restaurant Week, the menu is such that it makes it worthwhile for yourself.
Yeah, and you know, it's been my experience with Restaurant Week through the years that you know, the restaurants really, they want to put their best foot forward. They realize that because they're offering these prefix menus at prices well below what you would normally pay if you would go to those restaurants for those, that people are coming in and, you know, checking out their restaurants, sampling, and they want them to come back. So they're putting their best foot forward. They're putting their most creative things out in these prefix menus. It's a really fun experience if you like, you know, eating out.
Absolutely. And we're encouraging the restaurants to do that as well, because we know all eyes are on Restaurant Week and all consumers are very closely looking at all of the restaurants, all of their menus, what their options are, what they're offering. So we do encourage those restaurants to take advantage of this promotion, because we know it really draws excitement every year, enthusiasm for locals, for visitors alike. It is really exceptional. I must say, in other markets around the country where Restaurant Week seems to be tapering off a little bit, we just continue to get better and better. I mean, we are a foodie town, and we love our restaurants. We love our dining scene. We love our ma-and-pa and our neighborhood establishments as much as we love, you know, our big brand restaurants in downtown Chicago. So it just continues to soar. We have, as I mentioned, beyond the 500-plus restaurants participating this year, we've got 35 distinct neighborhoods that are represented. We have over 100 first-time restaurants that have never participated before. We have over 150 women and minority-owned businesses and chefs participating. And we even have close to 60 suburban restaurants as well. People forget that while it's predominantly in the city, there are a number of great restaurants out in the suburbs for those who want to stay maybe a little bit closer to home.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that, because that's been feedback that I've heard each year when we've talked about this. This is such a great idea, but they never have any restaurants in the suburbs. That really has changed this year.
Yeah, we have definitely increased the suburban participation. And before I forget, I would encourage everyone to go to eatitupchicago.com. That's eatitupchicago.com. They'll be able to view all participating restaurants. They can search by neighborhood, by cuisine type, by menu type. They can view all the menus for Restaurant Week. And then there's even a button they can click to go directly through to book reservations at their favorite restaurant during that time period of the 24th of January through February 9th.
Yeah, you want to get more info on this, the place to go, eatitupchicago.com. Chicago Restaurant Week, January 24th to February 9th, and 500 restaurants participating this year. If you can't find something that you'd like, you're just not trying. There is literally something out there for everybody this year in the city and the suburbs. Lots of good stuff. I appreciate you joining us, Jordan, to talk to us about it. Jordan Engerman with Choose Chicago. Have a great Sunday today and stay warm.
Thank you. Same to you. Be well.